Ventnor City Planning Board Meeting, September 10th, 2025.
The September 10th meeting of the Ventnor City Planning Board is now in session. Please rise and salute the flag. Oh, wait, I have to read the, beforehand, I have to read the sunshine ordinance. This meeting is being held in accordance with due public notice thereof and pursuant to the New Jersey State Sunshine Law. Notice of this meeting was advertised in the press and a copy of same has been posted on the board in the municipal building. Now we salute the flag. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic which stands one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Will our board administrator please call the roll?
Mayor Kribel.
Here.
Joe Iasnelli. Jay Cook.
Here.
Roman Zavi Hutch.
Here.
Dan Smith III.
Here.
Tim Cube.
Here.
Greer Gaskell.
Here.
Wendy Bartlett.
Here.
Absent are Commissioner Langgraf, Mike Wiesen, Peter Taco, and Jessica Stilley.
At this time, we have the minutes of the last of meeting, which was August 13th. Are there any additions or to adopt? Are there any additions or amendments to those minutes? May I hear a motion for adoption and a second, please?
I'll make the motion.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. The minutes are hereby adopted. This evening, we have three resolutions to be adopted from the prior meeting. They are P24 of 2025 of 107 South Avalon Avenue, P26 of 2025 of 13 South Weymouth Avenue, and P27, 2025, of 320 North Harvard Avenue. Are there any amendments or changes to said resolutions? Have a motion and a second to adopt, please.
Motion.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
I abstain, not with an.
On abstention from the mayor.
I abstain.
Send the second one.
And from Wendy also. The ayes have it. The resolutions are hereby adopted. The applications we have are none this evening. There is new business. First of all, I'd like to welcome.
Yes.
The persons that are here this evening.
Yes.
Do they have any, do you have any business before the board or you're here to? Listen, thank you very much. Thank you for attending, by the way. At this time, we'll open the board up to new business. Is there anyone with new business?
I do. I have a handout here. I'd like just to give this. It's the same thing that I emailed the board earlier. If I could just have a brief discussion about the, I'll keep it brief. I know we're on to. But this is regard to property maintenance and signage.
Always complain that signage is not.
The easiest person to pronounce your last name. I realize we have so many last names.
Is this?
Yeah.
I can say it, it's not in here.
She's an inquisitor.
I really got.
All the time.
I think she's messing with me.
I couldn't say it until I heard you say it.
I can say it. We're just talking.
Change my name to Zavi.
I don't know.
All right, so I'm just going to spend a little bit of time. The idea that you are all going to be on, I believe there's some people on the board that are going to be on a focus group for the master plan, and these things will be revisited.
Roman, you were, I really appreciate, I do want to hear everything you have to say, because I think Roman went through this and discussed whether what parts of the code they should be in, but my.
In the maintenance and compliance section, we have talked about including a section where we have nothing on the maintenance of landscaping.
Here you go.
Now, is landscaping going to be included in here or referred to it in here? Be a separate ordinance, or would it be contained here? But I don't see it in here.
I focus mostly on commercial. So I didn't talk about, there's maintenance code for landscaping, I think, and I'm really just talking about the commercial district here.
Okay, that's all.
And I don't know that there's a landscaping component for that. My real push here is to create some type of overlay and increase the sensibilities in the code for the storefronts and the signage. So those are two things.
So can we dub this as a commercial to be applicable to the commercial zone?
Yeah. So I briefly went through some other areas, and this is somewhat, I guess you could say, subjective on my part. Cities like Haddonfield, Collingswood, Princeton, Red Bank, Hoboken, Asbury Park has got a great downtown. Metuchen, Morristown, Lambertville, Frenchtown is really a great place if you ever get a chance to get up there. It feels like you're in Europe. Montclair, and all these towns have a version of this codification in their on their books. So I'm just I'll defer to Roman on where they belong in our code. But as far as the first item, applicability, I'm saying make sure that these standards apply specifically to non-residential and mixed-use properties within the downtown and commercial districts. So that's a part of our general description. And then the purpose, add to the purpose. These are adding to our existing code. Expand the statement to include creating a walkable, attractive commercial environment that supports small businesses. And some of that language is going to be in the master plan. I think it needs to be strengthened, so that we have something to compare it against when people really get out of lose their way in what their buildings look front. And that, to me, means maintenance and appearance. So storefront transparency, I think, is something that gets overlooked. 60% of ground floor windows should remain unobstructed and prohibit coverings. If you see a lot of reflective film, there's bookcases in front of windows, there's stands in front of windows. From a police standpoint, you can't see in at night, and it seems almost like they're vacant in some way. And vacancy standards. So we have fewer and fewer vacancies, but if there should be standards for those, that they're not just like I can think of a couple of vacant buildings that are simply the doors are closed and there's odds and ends and furniture behind the windows. So I think there's profession. They still have to have an appearance of some kind that can be enforced, right? Even when they're abandoned or not vacant, or when they're vacant. Outdoor areas. That's pretty self-explanatory. We have, but we don't have anything in there that allows outdoor dining and merchandising display. So where zoning permits within a 3-foot walkway, I think that's another thing that you'll see. Sidewalk sales, merchants that put racks outside, I think that can be a positive thing for walkable towns. Signage requirements, prohibit illuminated box signs and encourage externally lit. So there's a real difference between a box sign that has fluorescent bulbs and a well-designed sign that has that is externally lit. And you can see the difference when you drive from Atlantic City into Ventnor. There's more and more of those box signs with those fluorescent bulbs behind them. And this again may be subjective. When you go into towns like Cape May and Collingswood, they just don't have those. It's a different kind of a effect. And then facade maintenance. prohibiting mismatched unfinished materials. I just sent code some photos recently of some facades that are just not up to standard by any means. And I think preserving original architectural features where it's possible is important to the character of the city. We have a great old 1920s, 30s, 40s boom town here, and beneath some of these remodeled facades, there's some real attractive downtown characteristics. Awnings I've talked about in the past, and all I'm saying is let's get this stuff in the code so that when new businesses come, they're encouraged to do these things like awnings in good condition and expand lighting that's pedestrian scale, shielded, and adds ambiance. I think lighting provisions on buildings is something that is very needed in Ventnor. If you go down Ventnor downtowns at night, it's simply dark. You can't see the street lights are high. They light up the roadway, but they do not light up the sidewalks. So that in some cases, having the buildings lit it adds to that. Administrative provisions and violations. So I'm asking for input from the planning board to adopt the design guidelines for storefronts, and that's something a little longer term. There are some guidelines, and maybe that's a little restrictive, but even if we start something and make it broad based to have, you know, certain signage in certain places, give them examples so that when a new business comes, they can see that you can point at it and say, you know, 60% of the coverage should be open, and these are the kinds of light of fixtures that we prefer. And then, of course, violations is our one way to enforce it. So I'm asking that they be strengthened as well. So I'm happy to talk of any suggestions, but it's really going to be in your hands when we go forward with this, you know, to try to get this more readily engaged by the existing businesses, and they have a responsibility to do this to keep their facades attractive, I think, you know.
So the lighting that we see prevalent throughout the area now is the around the windows.
It's true. LED.
Rope lights. I specifically called that out. I don't know if it's in this, but I'm saying deter that and eliminate.
Well, that would eliminate.
That would eliminate. Yeah.
And if people were using those, they would become a violation.
I personally feel that way. I think they're. Yeah. I don't know how else to say it, but they're just unattractive.
Well, then they're. You know, we need to have in some areas softer lighting, in other areas.
Yeah,
you know, a higher loom, like for the sidewalks and things.
Sure, but
so you got goosenecks, you got all kinds of stuff.
There's lots of different lighting, but I think we can specifically call out the LED tape that changes color or is of a color at night, just like you would, you know, some places don't allow fluorescent light typing, but that LED light that you can buy for $20 and then you get up there with some scotch tape and they put it up around the windows and it falls off in the summertime. I mean, it just is not, I feel like I'm overreaching a little bit.
You're not overreaching.
But it affects the character of the whole downtown. It does. It feels like, do we want, is it, you know, and again, I feel like I'm being a little subjective here, but it just looks like you're, and in this day and age in business, if you think that's what's bringing people to your door, then you're sorely mistaken. It's, you know, in this day and age, you've got to have reviews online, you've got to have social media presence on Instagram, you've got to have, there's a lot of other things that drive, you have to have, you know, people looking for you online and on Google. Your Google review has to be strong. But having banners out front, and like my grandparents had, you know, dollar a slice on their pizza shop, you know, that wasn't bringing people in. You know, it was the fact that it was good. Pizza was good.
It was a good slice.
yeah. So I hope I'm not overreaching here, but I really feel like there's a better way. And it's not, and we're not, I'm not breaking any new ground here. There are, if you think about it, what's on the end of the spectrum? For me, at one end of the spectrum, it's the Wild West in Atlantic City. And I think that we don't want to be associated with that. I think that we want to have a different end, a different example when we hit Jackson Avenue. That there's a, it's, that we care about, we just care about the way the city looks. And we're not at the other end in like Nantucket where they're going to come, where this code enforcement is going to come out and measure the size of your shingle to make sure that it's, you know, the same as everybody else's. I mean, Nantucket is really dogmatic about how they make their McDonald's look like a fishing village. Every, you just can't build anything without the certain shingle. And we're not there. We're somewhere in the middle, you know, and I think that's okay. But what I see, if we don't do something like this, is more and more we're going to have a creep of people just doing whatever they're going to decide to do. And the signage is going to get the least expensive signage because they're just going to get another piece of plastic to go in the old box.
And they go crazy.
You know, and I think we can be better. I think we can hold them to a higher standard.
You've done such a good job of upholding the housing stock and typically in town for the commercial districts.
They are lagging behind. I mean, and this is another thing that doesn't fall within it, but I think it's adjacent is that there's weeds, the trees look horrible. We are looking at from the city. We already sent the PO for next fall to get 40 new trees and paying them to do beds around each of them. So everywhere from the business district all the way through, so existing trees are all going to be replaced. So we're going to have a fresh new group of trees in the central and the business district. And we're looking, and we put aside $100,000 for streetscape for next year. So that these are dollars that we want to spend. We want to spend them wisely, and we want to make sure that the surrounding city, I think we can do it. I think if the surrounding businesses up their game a little bit, the city starts to invest, we make it a priority to invest in the downtowns, then you're just going to see more people want to come and spend the time. Because at nighttime, it's, frankly, it's not attractive. There's a few places to go, but there's really not a lot of places you want to go out. You go to the movies, you go to Vendor Social, but at nighttime, our downtown is dark and uninviting, and it's got LEDs all over it.
Mayor, I think you're on exactly the right track, and I don't think you have to worry about being somewhat onerous or putting more regulations. You're trying to be professional, you're trying to create professionalism, and at the same time, trying to bring the community up to the level which it needs to be, which is just current demands of society.
Yeah.
That's all. Yeah. All we're trying to do here is reflect with the people in the rest of the country and around the technology that they're used to seeing that we don't have. Yeah. And I think that's what we're doing. And I have to applaud you for it, because the duplication of thought, you're bringing the thought in from the outside into the city rather than just using an old thought within the city and just keep repeating it.
Listen, the city's made some great strides. We've brought businesses down. There's very attractive businesses coming up down. But I know Joe's favorite one to pick on is Dollar General. You know, we're going to also try to bring in some more help for some of these businesses to try to somehow, you know, give them more reasons to invest in their facades. But you have to have the carrot, which is, you know, somehow helping them. We're looking at ways to help them fund bigger investments in their facades, but you also need the stick. And this is really saying the stick we have isn't specific enough to say our businesses are lagging behind. And that's all I'm asking you as a board to do when you look at the master plan, or even this. Like, we can do this now. We can look with Roman's help and with whoever else wants to volunteer for this. We can bring this to your suggestions, or if you're okay with some of these suggestions, in another round in an email, send it to me. We can bring it to our attorney. They can get this done, and we can get this done in a matter of weeks and months. And
I think we do it now.
I do too.
I think it's that important we do it now.
I think if you wait for a master plan and the whole process,
we're busy in the master plan.
Yeah, and you're gonna reinforce it in the master plan. If everybody is on board with some of these things that they're, and it's nothing that onerous, I think you, I think we, if, with your blessings, we can continue the conversation, and I can bring it to the attorney to incorporate with, and then we'll debate, we may debate it as a commission a little bit. There might be some things that, that the other commissioners aren't in favor of, but I'd like to see some, I'd like to see us all find the middle ground on it.
You know, and when I was speaking to you, the only item that I thought truly belongs in the master plan is purpose.
Right.
That should be in the master plan. Everything else that you have delineated can be incorporated into the existing
ordinances.
Maintenance, property maintenance code. You know, I suggested different spots where
right.
this particular okay. item can go to, and the building code.
Right.
So I'll be more than happy to give you this.
Thank you.
But in terms of, can all of this be implemented? I think so.
Yeah.
Whatever the mechanism to add it to the building code, to add it to this, obviously the commissioners have that jurisdiction. I think we should do it. There's no reason to hold that up.
Really isn't. And I mean, there might be some pushback from some businesses that are saying you're costing me money, but as a personal, for me, as a family that's had businesses, my grandparents had a business for 30 years. I started a business with a storefront. The city isn't responsible for your success, but the city, we're looking at broad strokes for things that are in compliance with what I think these are there's nothing here that's really just saying, clean up your windows, if you own the building, make it attractive, and take care of it. And we're also saying that we can do better in terms of signage, not just let any sign go up, but keep the lighting and the signage a little more professional. And one of the things that I've learned about this is that, and you all know this too from being on the planning board, is that the details matter. When you drive through a city and you see these types of things that are actually being done, like the trash cans are nice, the trees are nice, there's no weeds, and then everybody's taking care of their signage, then you start to look at it and say, maybe I want to live here, or maybe I want to visit here, maybe I want to pull over and spend some money here. There's a difference, and we're not there.
The role of a planning board in this issue is we're leaders of the community. We're more than the leadership position. We're facilitators. We're not demanders or dictators. We try to facilitate things so that the members of our community can benefit.
Yeah.
And I believe that's our role.
Yeah. It's not picking winners and losers here. We're
being fair and creating opportunity.
Yeah.
And bettering our city. But we facilitate. We do not dictate.
Yeah, I think the things you have here are, you know, some of them are kind of really straightforward. It's kind of general maintenance, it's upkeeping, and it's trying to get a unified look, which I think is good. I don't think there's much here. It's onerous, and I agree, this is probably stuff that can get done right away. I think maybe what I would say is there something more that we should be doing? When we think of the master plan, it's not just, you know, necessarily the shape and size of signage, but what's the look that we want to have in the community? Are we going to try to embrace the, you know, the 1920s, 30s look, you know, and you don't necessarily have to go to the Nantucket where I'm controlling everything,
right.
But recommendations, what's the desired look? Because that master plan is going to go for another 10 years. So that's the place to kind of capture some of the, where do we want the future development to go and look, so that it's kind of more consistent. So I think that they can be sort of married together. And yes, you're asking for people to upgrade maintenance perhaps, but we're also saying, and as a city, we're going to be doing these things for streetscapes and these things for landscaping. So it's kind of a partnership. I know you work with the business association. I mean, I'm sure this is a bit of a tension for, you know, business owners who don't own the property, and you have the leasors and the lessees. You know, do you have any feeling on how this would necessarily be received?
Well, first of all, thank you for that reaction, because that's exactly what I was looking for. Is that this is not This is not something that's set in stone, but it's something that the master plan should build on.
Absolutely.
This should be our ground, this should be the given.
Yep.
And the master plan should be more forward, more thinking, this is the 3-meter target. The master plan is the...
It's 10 years.
Is down the road. But to answer your question about the planning board, the business association, I think they're, I think that, you know, it's impossible to say what they would, what they might think about some of these things, but it's likely that there's going to be a pushback from owners that are looking at them just as cash cow investments, that they're going to have to now spend some money.
Right, between the business who's running there versus the person who owns.
And I would say things like, I would say, look at the examples, and this is just in our little town, but there's a, you know, there are coffee shops that spend a little more, that spend all the time on the interior design, the exterior design, the signage, the coffee cups themselves, and in the summertime, you don't go there because there's a line around the corner. And the ones that don't, they just don't give that opportunity for the public to know what they're there for. So I think that's money well spent when you create an image.
Oh, absolutely.
Like that. So I will give you one other thing about brains, some other thought I had about what do you want, because you mentioned it, what do we want the vision for Ventnor to be? Is it, I think there's an opportunity that you could have Ventnor be like, if Ventnor, our namesake, is an English town,
right?
You know, and I was just in Bath, England, and it kind of hit me like a ton of bricks. There's no, you could have, if there was like a Ventnor pub, that pub culture and that kind of even if you had some older facades that made it, that had sort of an English pub town, kind of a cool, I thought it was kind of a cool idea, like a brewery. Yeah, well, look what we have coming, like the school, that school project is dynamic, and if you can have something like that that connects the dots in a town.
Absolutely.
And that's what those towns do, all through Bath, England, and they have blade signage.
Right.
They have, you go in and you'll spend $40 on a pencil and $20 on a car. You know, it brings up a level of commerce, I think.
Yep. Rather than just limit, the ideas and so on. In architecture and building, there's a term called transition.
Mm-hmm.
And in Ventnor, rather than look at just creating something old, look at what you can take from the old with borrow from the new, merge the two together. See what people like and fit, be able to work with it a little bit. Don't be hard and fast, but be able to bring in the best of things which people like. And you see Bath, England, Bath can come with a Ventnor flair. And these are the concepts of how you deal, but deal in transition instead of limitation and opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
And you'd be surprised how great things come out.
And as a board, I think we've seen how trying to put parking. I'll share some podcasts with you. There's one podcast called Strong Towns. You could listen to that talks a lot about parking, and the idea that some towns have eliminated parking requirements in their downtowns for businesses and the residences above them is something that is really catching on, because I don't know that we've seen successful storefronts where we've asked them to put parking underneath or behind that have actually taken place. They just kind of fall, like the one on next to JoJo's. I don't know that that's going to happen, because it just doesn't make sense for that. That's not the way these towns were built. They were we have parking difficulties, but I don't think we have a parking problem. I think we have, if you show, and this is what one of the business owners that I did talk to, he said, show me a downtown with a parking problem and I'll show you a vibrant downtown.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then there's trade-offs.
That's another thing, is the message that comes out.
That's a line I used years ago.
Did it really?
Where people were complaining about traffic in Morristown, because that's where I work.
Nice town.
And I said, it shouldn't be traffic that you're concerned about. It's congestion, and if we can solve congestion, then the traffic is good.
Yeah.
And it went in the paper.
You're 100% right, both of you, and, you know, the misunderstanding is, the negative viewpoint is that you must enforce the ordinances and someone go through. And if you do, you eliminate the growth of the community, the vibrance of the community. Mm-hmm. You will continue to hit it right on the head. And so did you, Roman. You know, that's what it is. This is a positive thinking board and a positive thinking community.
Yeah.
And you have to manage it, not let it loose, like a let it go.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you can't throttle the community back and kill it.
There's always going to be parking frustrations in a town like ours. It's built into the fabric. The town was laid out when the biggest technology here was that you could get from Philadelphia to your house by taking a train from Philly to Atlantic City and then a trolley to your house in Ventnor. And you could do it in 2 or 3 hours. And that was the technology at the time. And that's where the lots came from. They were divided up into little tiny lots with maybe one place for one car. And that's just a reality like any other reality, we like interest rates that we have to deal with. I mean, we're not going to change that. And and we've looked at big scale parking lots. They would be empty half the year, and we'd be mortgaging the city to build them.
And they would service one area.
They would service one area.
Several business districts.
Exactly. Yeah, and I think that there's a reason why cities are walkable. People can ride their bikes. They drive less. They shop locally, shop more. Our farmers market has nothing but people walking all the way with their bags, all from all parts of the town. I mean, that to me is a win for the city. You know, you're bringing in more people and that are could potentially, you know, shop in other areas in Ventnor. And I think if we do something like this, more trees, nicer trees, nicer trash cans. I'll look into finding money for street lighting, because I think that would help. But and then have the businesses do their part. I think you have another boom town coming. After even though already we are, but I think if you have a great, beautiful downtown, you've got another set of people looking to come here and keep our prices stable. Yeah, for those post lighting with with the flowers on the sides of them, and and it brings, you know, it keeps it safe, you know. I mean, they're expensive, but we don't have to do it all at once.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The 52-hour block of Atlantic, that's a great example. That we can replicate that, obviously. Where Roma is,
yeah.
That's a beautiful block.
It is.
If we can just do that.
It is,
Around the rest of the business districts, that's a win.
Yeah, now we had a grant for that, and it was expensive, but the sidewalks, it only took one season to get it done.
The lighting as well.
The lighting as well, yeah. Yeah. No, I think I don't know if we put all our eggs in that basket and do that on Ventnor Avenue, but because I think that's areas starting to, you know, start, I don't, you know, again, there's an empty lot there and some other empty businesses, but it's starting to come around there.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of concrete. We have a hard time finding places for trees in that area because there's so much facades and you can't put them too close to houses. But we're gonna have about a dozen trees, new trees and new planting beds in that area.
With what you're proposing with these, you know, regulatory items, I don't consider them onerous, but it does give the planning board the ability when any commercial application comes before us, that's when we can say, how about this kind of sign? It's in the regs.
Exactly.
And that's what we can build on.
Exactly.
People make the mistake that years ago, the solution to Camden was build an aquarium. That didn't help Camden at all. Still doesn't help Camden. Though,
it's a nice aquarium. It's a nice aquarium.
But it's got to be a cumulative process where you get every little bit over time and you make the change.
There's a reason that European cities have, like, they get in Stockholm, the business owners were up in arms because the powers that be in the Stockholm City Hall decided they were going to stop traffic in all of the downtowns and make it non-car, no cars, all pedestrians. So there's something in the neighborhood of 8 blocks square that is all pedestrian. And your shoulder, and when I went, this was 20 years ago, when I went 10 years ago, you're shoulder to shoulder with people. It's a big shopping mall. And people go there specifically just to walk and go to those shops, and every single shop is doing well. And now they would fight harder if someone said, bring the cars back.
I was in England in 1970, and in the city of Durham has an oxbow, and there's a bridge. Three bridges.
Oxbow.
And because one of the bridges needed to be repaired, they decided the traffic would be horrendous. There'd be so much congestion. We have to say no more traffic in the downtown area of Durham. Everybody was upset.
Yeah.
But this was done in the 60s. When I was there, they were ready to open the bridge and allow cars in. And people were demonstrating in Durham, saying, don't allow
cars,
because business was booming.
Right.
Residents were happy, fewer accidents, people on bicycles weren't getting hit by a car.
Exactly.
And that same situation, but yeah. They fought it.
Yeah. I'm not saying stop the streets from cars, but let's make it more pedestrian friendly.
Right. Exactly.
We're in the middle. We're not, we can shut down the streets from time to time.
The board, I think, should also consider, Tim, you brought up about the master plan is a 10-year plan. When you do a master plan, you're not doing a 10-year plan. You're doing a revisiting for the next 10 years, what we'd like to see. But your forward look is about 40 years.
Hmm.
And what your series of it is, you're doing 10 years, you're looking at 10 years of the next 40 years, and you're allowing somebody else to look at as the time updates to update you into it. But if you just look at 10, now we have to look about 40 years out, and then it'll be updated, and other people's opinion will follow ours, and the city will grow that way. And that's how it works. And I would hope everybody would adopt that attitude, that we're looking beyond 10 years. We're looking at the future of the city, and then things up so that the next group of people in leadership can better it in their way.
You need the population for this, and we're getting it now. We didn't always have it. Like, we didn't have the like that 30 new homes, the 6 that are going up right around here. They're gonna sell, and then if things like this take place, then I think the North Beach area is just going to become anything that's old that's not worth saving is going to start to get remodeled there. Tim's house is beautiful, so that's going to stay forever.
The next step explained is there was a business district.
It's the maintenance.
The business district itself. It's not just the district. It's all of the housing that surrounds that district. And if the district, the success of it is due to two things: outside people coming in and the disposable income of those who surround that district.
Mm-hmm.
And that equals the success of the district itself. So when you're looking at it, you look at not just the business, but you look at the surroundings on where the business is going to come from and the pedestrian nature and so on. So you have to be more inclusive in your ideas and more broad and forward-thinking and reaching and look at the big picture, but then deal with, focus on your mission for, as you're doing right now, on that district itself. But then the next thing is, this is the next door too. And next door, take care of what you just did. So, these are just planning ideas, and these are how plans work. And I believe, how I'd like to see the board think as well, and visit things, not be driven by it, but be aware of it and look at it and include it.
I think it's exciting. I think the master plan could really be a place that we can all, something we could all be proud of, that, you know, for the next 40 years that we hand off a city that families are looking at as a you know, something that they're proud to be in. You know, that's all I'm trying to say. So let's clean it up and do it codified.
Other members have anything that they want to contribute?
I have a question. So what do you say encourage?
I think you should be helpful.
Regarding the signage, you say encourage, that you require it, or?
You know, I was, that's the words they use in some of the codes. I would rather it be stronger, too. If that's a possibility, I'd like to ask our, that's a good question, because I felt a little bit like that wasn't the right word. Like, if there's a way to require it, as the same, as, just like with the tape lighting, to actually say it's not acceptable, you know, that's, I'd like to talk to the attorney about that, how strong you can word it.
Well, you guys have consistency.
Yeah, or I guess I don't know. I need to answer that. I will bring that up.
Tim, you speak with the attorney. Could you also discuss with him? We were talking about the storefronts. Discussing the storefronts. Well, you get into what we call aesthetic controls. And I think what we're talking about here is aesthetic controls, but not being, shall we say, an architectural design committee, and it limits everything.
Right.
So in other words, materials, ranges of colors, things like that, where you have the ability to flexible. But you just can't leave things alone and let people just interpret on them. You have to give guidance, and then there may even be photographs of suggestions of different things and so on. But not limited to.
Well, that's referred to here, where I say, guidelines for storefront signage and public realm elements to ensure clear standards of property owners. So I think that's something that I think we can put some meat on in the master plan. Like these kinds of provisions, just saying that, you know, the 60% rule, the signage sizes, and things that, like Wendy pointed out, let's make it so that you can't have that kind of backlit. I think those kinds of things you can put in, but what you're saying about actual character of design,
right.
I think that's the kind of thing where, like what Tim's saying, is and it's out there. We can cut and paste from cities that have literally, what Roman says, when a new business comes in, say, these are the guidelines. This is the master plan guidelines. This is what a facade is. These are examples of success of approved facades in that respect.
Because when they're before us, colors. They want approval.
Yeah.
If they have an idea that this is what we want,
right.
They're not going to fight us. They're going to try to accommodate what we're trying to tell them. But we haven't been clear enough.
No, that's we it. Haven't. And I think there's a lot of good examples out there that by accident. There's the Fish and Whistle, I think, is a good facade example. I think there's the renovation of Mentos is a good example. I think the theater is a great example. You know, that's a good one you can point to. And then 7311 is another good example. They rehab the great old building there, and it looks attractive. Stella is a good example. There's a lot of good examples that we can point to, but then there's ones that are just not.
But they should go beyond what's in the community now.
Yeah.
We should be able to recommend things that exist in other areas.
Yep, right.
And bring it, because, again, we just don't want to repeat within.
No.
But bring in fresh ideas and fresh things to the community. That's where we grow.
Yeah.
But when you say it's in the master plan, remember one thing. It's when the master plan is written, it is just the concept. Now, the master plan, then after we write it that way, then we have to go back and then implement the master plan, which means these things get reduced to code.
Right.
So as members, you have to know there's two phases. One, the master plan gives us a menu of work to do for the next couple of years afterwards. Right? And then we have to reduce that to in our ordinances and rearrange it or edit whatever has to be done to make it work.
Yeah.
So that's how it actually works, and that's the work that's before the board. So you're looking at beginning, and then you're looking at about 2 years of work afterwards.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well,
it's the new businesses and existing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, the existing businesses are going to be hard to wrangle, and there's going to be some letters, and some are going to ignore them. And keep ignoring them. You know, and Hamilton is a great example. they went really full on and created a master, a downtown committee, and there was one pharmacy that to this day is ignoring all the codes, and he still has handwritten signs on the window and stuff like that. But for the most part, Hamilton is a real, you have to say, Hamilton is a really attractive downtown. Even if it's a takeout restaurant, it still looks, they still have a nice facade, they keep it, the streets clean, you know, the trash cans and trees are nice. All their Christmas ornaments all line up when you look down the road. You put a level on them, you know. But that, I think we can be somewhere closer to that.
I have one question for Leo. We talk about when you create ordinances, when people question the ordinances, this board, these members of the board can get into interpretations at times, but you're participating here. It's the intent of the ordinance that oftentimes can, what the ordinance was intended to do. So my question is in here, in this section, should we put the intent in here? Or will that hamstrings a bit? Because courts decide, and boards can decide on an interpretation by what the intent of the ordinance is and whether or not the application before you is meeting that intent.
You know, generally speaking, most ordinances have a statement of purpose.
Right.
At the beginning. And then the general law is an ordinance that is clearly written and susceptible to one meeting, that controls.
Okay.
It's only, you only go to look in at intent. What was the intent behind this if it wasn't drafted correctly?
Correct.
Okay. And it's open for interpretation.
Yeah. And that's why I think like really given a skip, like some of these other cities, they have like a brochure that has a schematic that points to the signage, where it's located, and what the, you know, cornices are similar or look like, and what the glass, you know, what the door designs, and what signage, what types of signage are blade signage and the sizes. So we can add some of that clarity,
right,
so that when the person that is going to decide to build new on an empty lot or tear down something and build new, they can look at our ordinance first and say to their architect, that this is what passes in Ventnor. These are the kinds of things that they're looking for. And so the sooner we get this stuff in there, I think.
Right. And this is property maintenance, section 158, which is not our zoning code, but which is, I'm glad we're still talking about it. But, you know, maybe I talked to Roger. A lot of zoning ordinances have a design standards section. So, you know, when people bring site plans, new stuff going forward, you know, here's what your signage is.
And I don't think we have one. I don't think there's a design standards in our.
There is not.
I think that's what we're really talking about here, is having some kinds of standards, you know.
And maybe, you could, I don't know, we could work it, we could have some in our zoning section for such and such, you know, we'll refer to incorporate the design standards under our property maintenance codes. So kind of maybe.
Yeah, a hook in, so kind of cross-reference.
Something like that, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, that's.
And the other thing in this is very important, and legally, you need to discuss with us as well, Leo, is when you pass a new ordinance, existing buildings in many cases they're not affected totally by it.
Right.
It's only those that are new. So the question in here is in the ordinance, how can we make this more effective to a broader spectrum? And that becomes a legal issue.
Yeah, and I think that's what we should talk about.
You can think you put in the greatest ordinance in sliced bread.
Right.
And it affects 2% of the population.
Right.
2% of the population in the city. The rest of the city isn't affected at all.
Right.
So how much did you really do?
Right.
You're doing it in time, so it gets affected over time. But we need to look at this very hard and get it so it's more applicable today. And what we can regulate today and encourage.
Yeah, but we have three, we have three empty lots, big ones that I can think of, and once those are filled, we can get this in there before real building really gets serious on those, and once those spots are filled, then theoretically, the others, the other buildings are more likely to get renovated, and if this type of stuff is in those codes for renovations when they come to get permits, we're likely to get, you know, that old ugly signage taken down and new signage put in.
Right.
and, you know, and a better sensibility to a design standard that is, you know, that is for, that looks at the whole city as a whole, not just something we inherited in the paperwork, you know, which is what we have.
And can we put stuff in the master plan around that overall look?
Absolutely.
To drive the design standard ordinances and be cohesive.
Big picture and day-to-day.
Yeah, the master plan would say to create, and begin there, create the ordinances to accomplish.
Sort of the macro view and the micro view.
Exactly.
But that, and then we would create them in there. Now, is there anything there that you want the board to vote on this evening or have a straw poll to in for endorsement at this point?
I'll leave that to Leo if it's anything that's really just a discussion.
Yeah, I think just a discussion.
I mean, if you want to reply to the email with your comments, even if you just say I agree, I'll take that to the I'll take that to the other commissioners.
It's actually a good point that the mayor makes. I have no problem, like the mayor sent out this information. Carmel often sends us out information. Roger sends us out information. And hey, here, I want to talk about this at the meeting. What we have to kind of avoid is, and we do, you can reply to the mayor or whoever sends it, but when you hit that reply all, now we're having a discussion on email technically outside of here.
That's a good point.
How can we have to have the group meeting? So, but you can certainly read, hey, Mayor, I got your stuff, and I think this is great, as long as it's going right to him. But when you say that to reply all, and then everyone's having a big conversation, the sunshine laws say, that's why we have these meetings.
Good point. Very well taken, yeah.
We're under the sunshine law now with the majority. That's why I asked is if nothing more than a straw poll, and then say the idea for the discussion was frank, could I think pursue it fully?
Yeah.
That would be the resolution that I would put forth for the board this evening.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to say as a resolution, or everyone just says, yeah, I think that's a good idea.
I think that's it.
That's good for me.
Straw poll.
It's it, we all start, yeah.
Thumbs up, thanks.
Okay, good.
Put the thumbs up.
That sounds official.
If everybody agrees, put the thumbs up, and that's our feedback.
Send me an email just so I can discuss it with you. Thank you. Appreciate your time.
And does anybody have anything else they want to bring up before the board? At this time, then, may I have a motion for adjournment? Is there anyone in the public that has any comment? Okay, thank you very much for attending. And at this time, may I have a motion for adjournment?
I'll make the motion.
Aye.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Thank you.
We are adjourned. Like that.